وخير الهدي هدي سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أعاذنا الله وإياكم منها أجمعين أما بعد. Dear brothers and sisters, one of the primary objectives of the khutbah of Jumu'ah is to remind ourselves about the inevitability of the Day of Judgment. And it is to inspire hearts and renew our commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the sermons of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would always remind the community about their journey in this life and the inevitability of meeting Allah and standing before Him for reckoning on the Day of Judgment. In the hadith of Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, in the hadith known as the hadith on Ash-Shafa'atul Kubra, the greatest intercession, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described the last day and said that on that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall manifest His wrath, His ghadab, His anger, and people will be fleeing and finding nowhere to hide. On the Day of Judgment, as people are gathered to stand before their Lord for accountability, they will find nowhere to run and nowhere to hide. The Ardul Mahshar, the judgment plain, will be flat. It will be white. It will be bright. It will be without hills, without mountains, without anything behind which one can hide. And the sun will be near. That is the nature of the Day of Judgment. Imagine how people will be on that day. On a hot summer day in this dunya, the most beloved thing to a person is cool shade. What do you think will be the most beloved thing to a person on that day? What place can they find for that shade? There is no shade except the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest of Allah's creation in terms of size and immensity. Those whom Allah blesses to be gathered under the shade of the arsh on the Day of Judgment will be experiencing joy and relief from the panic that others will have on that day. And it's from the mercy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he told us of several types of people who will receive that shade on the Day of Judgment. In the collections of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim and many others, there are hadith reports in which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes various types of people who will be blessed to enjoy the shade beneath the arsh on the day in which there is no shade but His. There's dozens and dozens of narrations that describe these different types of people. But the most common narration speaks about seven particular types of people. And it's not limited to these seven, but these seven are the most common ones mentioned in the hadith. And today, inshallah, we wish to look at the narration of these seven who will be shaded beneath the throne on the Day of Judgment. In his commentary on this hadith, the great Imam, the great jurist and scholar of hadith, Imam Ibn Abdul Barr al-Maliki, said that this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about those who will be shaded underneath the throne on the Day of Judgment is sufficient for you as a grace, for it is known that whosoever is beneath the shade of the throne on the Day of Judgment will not be affected by the horrors and stresses of the Day of Judgment. This is what Imam Ibn Abdul Barr said. So shading in this hadith means not just the literal shade, but also the relief from the stress of reckoning. Those who will be shaded are not a select few. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions seven types of people, he does not simply mean seven people. He means seven types. There will be many, many people from the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam shaded beneath the throne. It is simply for us to understand what are the qualities of these seven people and what do we need to do to develop those qualities within ourselves so that by Allah's tawfiq, His grace and ability, we may be included among them. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this is from the narration of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال سبعة يظلهم الله في ظله يوم لا ظل إلا ظله الإمام العادل وشاب نشأ بعبادة الله ورجل قلبه معلق في المساجد ورجلان تحابا في الله اجتمعا عليه وتفرقا عليه، ورجل دعته امرأة ذات منصب وجمال فقال إني أخاف الله، ورجل تصدق بصدقة فأخفاها حتى لا تعلم يمينه ما تنفق شماله، ورجل ذكر الله خاليا ففاضت عيناه. In this hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said that there are seven types of people whom Allah shall shade beneath the shade of His throne on the day when there is no shade except His. The first, he said, is an Imam al-Adil, the just ruler. Number two, a youth, a young person who grew up in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third is a person whose heart is attached to the masajid. The fourth is describing two people who love each other for Allah's sake, who meet each other for Allah's sake in part, for Allah's sake. And next is a man who is called by a woman of great beauty and position, who is called by her to engage in the haram. But he says, Inni akhafullah, I fear Allah. And the next is a man who gives charity with his right hand and hides it such that his left hand does not know what his right hand has given. And the last is a person who remembers Allah, invokes Allah privately, alone, no one else. فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَاهُ And his eyes shed tears, he weeps. These are the seven types of people who will be shaded beneath the throne on the Day of Judgment. May Allah make us of these seven types. That is easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do. There, in this hadith, we find in these seven types certain developmental qualities, certain things that we should work on to be among these people. Let's look at them one by one. The first is, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-imam al-adil, the just imam. And the ulama mentioned that this is read very broadly, not just the president, the khalifa, the sultan, or the prime minister. Rather, the imam adil, the just imam, is the just person in a position of authority. And this applies to any person who is in a position of leadership. Anyone who has followers, anyone who has subordinates, is included in this category. The person who is fair. And that's because being in a position of authority is a great test and trial for Allah Ta'ala. It is far too easy for people to attain a position of power, and the power gets to their heads, and they take advantage of that power, and they abuse other people, they denigrate other people, they take advantage of their position and use it to benefit themselves in this world. The just imam is the just husband, the just father, the just mother, the just leader, the just mayor, the just imam, the just anyone who has a position of authority and power. So the developmental goal within this category is understanding the danger of power and the weighty responsibility of power and exercising it in a way that is responsible and pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ Allah enjoins upon you justice and virtue. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَعَدِدُوا بَيْنَ أَوْلَادِكُمْ Have taqwa of Allah and be just among your children. The person who is unjust among their children, how could they ever be just to the greater population? This is the Imam Adil. The second type of person underneath the shade of Allah's throne on the Day of Judgment is شاب نشأ بعبادة الله or شاب نشأ في طاعة الله, the young person who grew up in the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our Islamic tradition, the ulama tell us that the shab is the person from the age of puberty up to the age of 40, which means that you still have some time if you're in your 30s to be included among these people if you develop yourself. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions this young person who grew up in the obedience of Allah, which means they did not artificially extend their childhood sowing their wild oats, as we say, and only getting serious about their relationship with Allah when they get old. That's the stereotype, isn't it? That a person in their teens and 20s and early 30s can do whatever they want, and when they become their 40s and 50s, their 60s, then they can become religious. That's not what the Prophet ﷺ teaches us. He teaches us that the person shaded under the throne, one of them is the young person who grows up in obedience to Allah Ta'ala. So this is about being nurtured at a young age, to develop oneself at a young age and channel the youthful energy in what is good. So the question we have for ourselves is, how can the energy of youth be channeled for what is good? Number one, it starts with us, the parents. To channel the energy of youth for good starts with the parents, because the parents have to channel their own energy in what is good if they're going to channel the energy of their children in what is good. If we are channeling our energy in everything but what is most important, how can we expect that our children will channel their energy in what is good for them in this life and in the next? So we have to get things right first and foremost. The second thing we can do to channel their energy, to nurture this, is education. And by that, I do not mean the focus on secular education, as important as it is. But what I mean is Islamic literacy, Islamic education, learning our deen properly, learning what is individually obligatory, fard ayn, and not being satisfied with a very surface level understanding of bits and pieces of the deen, where the deen, the religion of Allah and the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is nothing more than a cultural handbag or ethnic accessory to our identity. This is not the way. We also channel their energy by keeping them busy in what is good. And what I mean by good is not necessarily only ibadah, only things that are quote unquote Islamic, but things that are good and wholesome. Activities that are wholesome, with wholesome friends. When those things are encouraged, they are growing up in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next person described by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam beneath the throne is a person whose heart is attached to the masajid. Their heart is attached to the places of sujood. Their heart is attached to the masajid, to the prayer rug, to the sajda, the places of sajda, the people of sajda. And what this means is they are organizing their lives around the prayer. And even if they're unable to come to the masjid, they have a desire to be within the masjid. They organize their life around the salat. So this means they develop themselves to love the pinnacle of deen, which is salat. They come to love the prayer, the places of prayer, the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next person the Messenger of Allah mentions is actually two people. He says they are two people who gather, who love each other for the sake of Allah. They gather together for the sake of Allah, and they part ways for the sake of Allah. This means that their friendship, their attachment to each other, is not for selfish motives. It is purely for the sake of Allah. This is a very lofty thing. It's so easy for us to say to each other, brother, I love you for the sake of Allah. What does that really mean? This person who loves another person for the sake of Allah does not have selfish or ulterior motives in their relationship. Most of our relationships, we have aghrad, we have ulterior motives. There's benefits we derive from the relationship on a nafsani personal level. But this relationship is not based on any ulterior motive or worldly benefit gained. It is because that person, I love them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what this teaches us is that we have to develop relationships with people in which those relationships are vehicles and means of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the person who loves someone for the sake of Allah, for Allah, by Allah. And their relationship is a means of drawing nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next person mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one who was invited by a woman of great beauty and position to commit the haram. And instead of responding to her, he said, when no one else was around, when they wouldn't have been caught, he said to her, instead, إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ, I fear Allah. This person will be shaded beneath the throne on the last day. Now we must say that of all of these people, we want to be those who have these qualities, but this is one exception. We do not want to be this person who is tested in this way. No one should desire to be tested like this man is tested, because no one can guarantee they will pass that test. So we want to be with these qualities, but not necessarily with that test. What quality did he have? It is the quality of taqwa. It is the quality of resisting temptations. And you start slow, you start small. You learn to resist small temptations and larger temptations until this becomes ingrained in you when the taqwa is strong, and you will have the quality of this individual, insha'Allah ta'ala. The next person described by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one who gives selflessly, the one who gives charity with his right hand and conceals it such that his left hand does not know what his right hand has given. This, as the ulama say, is majaz. It is figurative. It's a figure of speech. And what it means is that person's giving has become not second nature, but first nature. They give, and it's their first nature, meaning it's natural. It's a part of their essence, who they are. They don't hesitate. They don't regret. They give openly and willingly. And the developmental lesson here, the quality of this person that we need to develop within ourselves, is having a healthy and proper relationship with money. Many people do not have a healthy relationship with money, and that inhibits them. That makes it difficult for them to engage in sadaqah in a way that is fully purifying. But this person gives naturally because of their certainty in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and desire for his pleasure and reward. And the last person described by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, رَجُلْ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنًا, that person who remembers Allah privately, by themselves, خَالِيًا, and as a result, their eyes shed tears. They wept for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is this about? This is about having a stable Islamic personality, to use that term. People use this term Islamic personality, but personality comes from persona. And persona is the word in Greek for mask. And there are many people who have an Islamic persona in public. They wear an Islamic mask. Not a literal face mask, but an Islamic mask when they're in public, when they're in the masajid, when they're around their brothers and sisters. But their persona at home is not really the persona any longer, it's the mask removed. And if there's a great difference between the two, there is incongruity. But this person described in the hadith does not have that. They are actually better in private than they are public, such that when they mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they weep and no one sees it. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the developmental lesson in the seventh person is to move past superficial religiosity, to move past this superficial way of being Muslim and developing an intimate connection with the Creator of the heavens and the earth. As you see, dear brothers and sisters, all of our life's work is contained in the virtues mentioned in each of these seven people. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His grace and fadl and His tawfiq to give us these beautiful qualities, to open up the doors for attaining these qualities, to remove the impediments and the barriers, the mawani' from obtaining these qualities, and to make us of those who are gathered beneath the shade of the throne on the day of judgment, on the day in which there is no shade but His. Ameen. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa afdhalu salati wa atammu taslim ala Sayyidina Muhammadin as-Sadiq al-Ameen. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man istanna bi sunnatihi ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. Dear brothers and sisters, within each of these qualities that we have described, there is a struggle. But we cannot despair of Allah's mercy and think that there is no hope in us attaining one or two or three or more of these qualities. All of that is easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because everything is from Him. If we are able to have these qualities, it is because Allah has facilitated that for us. We ask Allah to give us those qualities with the understanding that it is only He who can purify our hearts and give us these qualities. Many people hear this hadith and others like it, and they think to themselves that these qualities are of people far better. And that could be true. They think that these qualities are so far away from their reality and there's no hope they could ever reach them. But that is an error. That is a mistake. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned these qualities to the ummah. So every single member of the ummah has a way of accessing these qualities, of developing them within themselves. And when you reflect on this hadith, and look at all these seven qualities, you see that they are distributed among everyone within the ummah. They are. Number one describes the ruler, the sultan, the leader, those who have positions of power and authority. Number two describes youth who are growing up. How many youth do we have? How many people do we have with positions of authority? Number three describes ordinary people who have friendships and relationships with others. Number four describes gender dynamics and how men and women should and should not interact. Number five describes the different social classes between rich and poor. Number six describes the religious and worldly interactions with people. And number seven describes the private devotional life of ibadah that no one but Allah sees. So no matter who we are and where we are, we can fit into one of these seven, or two, or three, or four, or all of them, if we take those values. What are the values in each of these? Taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, muraqabah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mindfulness of Allah, fear of Allah, yearning for Allah's pleasure, and vigilance and watchfulness over what is going on in our life. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow us these favors, to give us these qualities, to open up their doors for us, and to remove the barriers and impediments, to make us people who are shaded beneath the shade on the day in which there is no shade but His. Do not think that that is limited to a select number of people in the tens or the hundreds. That can apply to tens of thousands, nay, hundreds of thousands, millions. It is possible, it is easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not think that you're disqualified, because the doors of repentance are always open for every single one of us. May Allah turn to us in repentance. Allah yutub alayna, ameen. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. Rabbana hab lana min azwajina wa dhurriyyatina qurrata a'yunin waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin zaynil mursalin wal akhyar wa akrama man adlama alayhi al-laylu wa ashraqa alayhi an-nahar. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وقوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله